Hello and welcome to the third of my Get Frank podcast series. My name is Frankie Ward and I am coming to you from a bedroom in East London. I do feel a little bit like I've made it now. I'm living in Shoreditch. It's a little bit strange because I don't feel trendy enough to kind of live here really. I need to buy a hat. So maybe next weekend I'll head out onto Columbia Road and purchase one. Now, later on in today's episode, or tonight's, depending what time you're listening, I'm going to be talking to John Melvin from the wonderful Union Choir, one of the North East's most prominent acts of the moment. So, one of the things that me and John talk about in the interview is some of his favourite bands. So, we talk about Brilliant Mind, Holy Mammoth, Young Liar. And this man, his name is Fran O'Hanlon, and he goes by the name, musically, as Ajimal. This song is absolutely epic, mesmerising and beautiful all at the same time. It's Your God Is Not in Burgos, and it's by Ajimal. That was Ajimal with Your God Is Not in Burgos. And if you can see Fran anytime soon, then do. He is an experience to behold. And also, when I started at Amazing, he was one of the first act we ever got in to play live for the station. In fact, the first act. It wasn't part of the Amazing Sessions, which is a proper sort of studio project. It was quite simply me bumping into Fran outside the Clooney venue and grabbing his number and going, I was listening to your song earlier today and I absolutely loved it. Can you come in and just be on my show? However, he was playing with two amazing guys called Jan and Stefan at the time. So he brought them in with him. So what I was expecting to be a one guitar acoustic session turned into I can't really describe it. There was so much stuff, pianos and synths and glocks and drums and violins. It was crazy, but it was certainly an experience. So I was very grateful to Fran for coming in. But again, John is going to be talking about Fran when I interview him later in the podcast about the Union Choir. So stay tuned for that. On this podcast, I do like to bring you acts that I've actually seen live. So, I can guarantee that they're good and they're worth investing your time in and going out to see and investing in their records, of course, as well. One of the bands that I'm really excited about at the moment is an act called Pengillies, who are Leeds-based because I believe they're all studying in the university there, but also kind of in London as well. So they've got feet in both cities. And I went to see Emmy the Great, who was supported by the wonderful Grace Petrie, who's kind of the modern Billy Bragg, I would say. But after the gig, it was noticed that the bass player from Emmy the Great's band is actually a guy called Rick, who is the singer of Pengillies. So me and Alex got talking to Rick, and we said we'd be going to his gig on the following Tuesday, and we popped up and saw the band play, and they are absolutely fabulous. They've got a three-piece string section, drums, synths, bass, guitar, that kind of thing. And they have a really, really interesting sound. In fact, they don't even need the synth on some songs because what they create, even just vocally, is so beautifully stunning. And I would really recommend you go to pengillies.bandcamp.com and download their new single, Toby's Hill. I believe that's Pay What You Like. So, have a listen, see what you think it's worth. But definitely grab hold of that and tell everyone you know, because it's a fabulous record. Because Toby's Hill is the single, and because I want you to head over to Bandcamp and invest in it, thus investing in the band themselves, I'm going to bring you a track that they've been giving away for free. This song is called Ode 8th, and it's by the wonderful Pengillies.
Beneath my feet, I'm sick of the sight of concrete. All I want to do is write something plain in a way that rings true. But I'm a terrible poet, and all I can do is try to describe what it's like sitting on a curb in July.
That was Odeith by Pengilees. I've already played You Adjemar from the Northeast because of my interview that's coming up with John Melvin from the Union Choir. And one of the other bands he mentions in the interview is another band that I particularly love. They're called Brilliant Mind, and the singer Callum mysteriously always performs with a miniature can of tango. You know, the ones that you used to be able to get from Woolworths. He seems to have a stash of them. I don't even know where he gets them from, but fantastic band. Callum's a great character, and I hope you're gonna love this track. It's called March, and it's by Brilliant Mind.
Dark suits and black ties in an hour or two. I'm making small talk at a buffet in a function room. And every time a light's left on, it feels like she's at home. Stupid I know, stupid I know, stupid I know. Thank you.
That was March by Brilliant Mind. And if you like them, go Google them and listen to their song Leave Your Friends Behind. I do like to play you tracks that perhaps aren't as well known as some of the other songs in each band's repertoire, purely because I want you to go and discover them for yourself. So with Brilliant Mind, I'd really recommend that you check out their tracks Victim of Association, Leave Your Friends Behind, which is my personal favourite, and previous single Our Osprey. My interview with John from the Union Choir is coming up in just a moment. In fact, after just one more song, which is by a band called Doyle and the Forefathers, who Union Choir actually played with at their gig. So, without further ado, this is a Southampton-based, I think there are five pieces, I can't quite remember, but they have got a good pop acoustic rock thing going on. I don't know, just listen and see for yourselves. This track is called When Will the Children Learn, and it's by Doyle and the Forefathers.
I finally found a damn good reason to storm ahead and not be burdened by the remains of the day. Their tongues have tattered, my words have stuttered. I've made my bed in many gutters. I've heard what the a surging boredom, there's simply just no time to waste. There's no time to waste. I want to scale the tallest towers and see the patch of grander flowers. I don't
It's now time for my interview with John Melvin from the Union Choir. Now, unlike my previous two interviews with Vets in Hong Kong and with Vinyl Jacket, we managed to find a small room that was all our own, although we did have to share it with a fair few cases of guitars and violins, so that wasn't the most comfortable of positions to be in for 20 minutes, but John made it worth my while, I'll give you that. So without further ado, yeah, here it is, John Melvin from the Union Choir. I never actually properly introduced the podcast because, it always feels a bit weird because I never do the interview part in a studio. In fact, I never do the actual podcast in a studio. I do it in my bedroom. So currently I'm in a green, well, it's kind of a cupboard. I have actually got a violin case between my legs, which sounds like a euphemism, and I promise you it's not. Not between my legs, but right next to me is John Melvin from the Union Choir. Hello, John.
Hello, Frankie.
How are you today? Come from Newcastle down to London?
Yes, well, tired. But it was a long drive for the people who are driving, but I suppose it's just, you know.
I was
That's the perfect example of our mindset at the minute. We just can't really speak.
I watched the sound check and I noticed that you're actually less of a choir today and more of a band because you haven't got so many members with you.
Yeah.
So what's happening?
Just people couldn't make it. A cello player has got a big job on at uni, and Becca and Simon, who play the saxophone and trumpet, are both at Leeds, and they couldn't really afford to come down. And it's a shame, but it's an excuse for us to kind of be a bit more minimal, isn't the right word, but you know, kind of less of a headache for sound men.
So. I was about to say it's not really minimal because you still have six people on stage.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But it's minimal for us. The weird thing is, we've actually done acoustic strip back gigs with more members than this gig. But it depends how we feel about each gig and the amount of members we've got and the lineup we can have. So we just, you know, mix it up once in a while.
What made you decide to get so many people on board with your songs?
When we first started, it was just a studio project between me and Grant. And so we had different musicians coming in to play different parts, and at no time did we think about putting together a band. It was just recording stuff. And then when we did think about putting it together as a band, we wanted to kind of make it as true to the recording that we had as possible, and we kind of needed a few different members to come in. The whole idea of the band is it's meant to be an enjoyable thing. So if people can't make it, or if they've got other kind of things that they need, other responsibilities and things like that, well, they're going to miss a gig or something. But the reason we kept inviting people in was because it was just fun and we want to work with people who we get on with and who we like and who we respect as musicians. And so it kept kind of growing out of control until, like, the first full band gig we played in May last year, where I looked at the stage before I walked on the stage and thought, what the hell have we done? Because there was just so many people, and we thought, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
So, coming out soon, and I know it's been a long time in the making, you've got your single, Eleanor. So tell us about when that's coming out and what the single's about.
It's coming out on the 5th, well, the single launches on the 5th of August in Newcastle at the Clooney 2, and it's getting officially released on the 8th of August, on the Monday, on Cottage Industries, which is a Newcastle label who are putting it out. The song itself was written in, I think it was 2006 or 2007, and it's just, I don't know, it's kind of like a 2.5 minute pop song, but it kind of encompasses 6 months of stuff that happened to us, and I just put it into one song, and everything clicked. And I think it's probably one of the best songs I wrote. The weird thing is we didn't have it in the set for a long time as a band, and we didn't even think about putting it in, because initially when me and Grant got together, I never actually played it to him. And then, I don't know, kind of 6 months after we got together, I had nothing else to play, so I played this song that I wrote ages ago, and it's worked, and it's been the set ever since. So we're all, like, really proud of the way the recording's gone. So.
When I think of a lot of bands in the North East, I kind of can group them into two categories. So I can say, you know, this band, they're all about the music. Obviously, with a band like Young Liar, you don't have any lyrics anywhere.
Yeah.
I can say quite safely, they're all about the tunes. And then I can look at someone like Martin, who obviously has got a strong ear for a melody and is brilliant, but perhaps is very focused on the lyrical side. But when I think of Union Choir, I can't really decide too much which category to put you in, because you seem to be about both. So how do you kind of work towards making your songs both musically and lyrically interesting?
we don't really think about it. I think that's the main thing. When I write something, I'll kind of torture myself's the wrong word. I write a lot of just phrases, not lyrics. I don't write anything cohesive initially, and then I've got lots of kind of odd sentences and stuff knocking about. And then something will happen which makes us want to put those kind of phrases and rhymes in context. So I'll write a set of lyrics. Then me, Grant and Martin get together and kind of build a song from there. And then, you know, Pete and Holly come in and kind of it builds a bit more. Then we'll work out what else it needs through demo. And it, whenever I really think, oh, how can we make this? It's probably a sin to say this, but whenever I think, how can we make this musically interesting? We just think, well, how can what we're playing best suit the song, and is what we're doing, are we overthinking it and things like that? I think the main thing that we try to do, because there's that many people in the band, is get away from intellectualizing things too much. It's all just about how instinctively we feel about a piece of music. Luckily, the people we work with, well, I can say this for myself because I don't consider myself to be musically talented at all. Luckily, the other, how many, 8 people I work with are all musically talented and far more intelligent than me in that kind of region. So I don't really think about it. I just kind of hear what they play, and if it sounds great, it sounds great, and it often does.
But you say you don't want to intellectualise things, but actually when you listen to your songs, they are quite complex and they are quite intellectual, I'd say. Where do you find the inspiration for those songs?
I don't really know. Basically, it's like I've said, if something happens that affects us in some way, I'm not someone who has like a million thoughts a day. I kind of have one thought and I fester on it for about a month at a time. So I'll always write stuff to express that to myself, if no one else. And 90% of what I write never gets heard or seen by anyone. I kind of write in spurts, and it's like, say, I don't write anything for a month, and then in the space of a month, I'll have 4 or 5 songs that I'm really happy with. And I don't really overthink it. I can't really go through any kind of process that I have for writing a song. Cause it's just, I think it happens in spite of myself. I think that's the main thing.
So, okay then, it might be easier to talk about one song and then dissect that, so how you brought the different elements together. So something that makes me think, you know, of maybe literary or pop culture references would be your song Potemkin, or as my former Russian theatre professor would call it, Putiemkin. you're saying it wrong. So talk us through the different elements of that song.
You're going to make me go on stage tonight and sing Potemkin, and I'm going to be thinking Potemkin in my head. You know what? I was just in the house drunk one night with my guitar, trying to get anything out of it, and it was like blood from a stone. I only know 3 chords, really, when it comes down to it. And Battleship Potemkin was on the telly, and I really like it, because I was a film student. And so I was watching that, and I was reading a Nick Cave interview where he was going on about the importance of rock and roll and stuff like that. But at the same time, I was reading The Road by Cormac McCarthy, which is about the death of all things, and I don't really know how it happened, because I wanted to kind of write like a kind of, I was trying to rip off like a Johnny Cash song or something like that, but it clearly didn't work out like that. And I don't know, during the film, there's like place cards saying things like, oh, the men had worked all day, the soup was cold, and the men seethed with rage and things like that. So I kind of plagiarised some of that, and again, kind of in spite of myself, I battered out a few chords, and I had like 2 A4 pages worth of just kind of just, I didn't take my hand off the page, basically. It was just constant writing, just to see what came out, because I used to do that when I was, when I tried to get inspiration for writing kind of lyrics all the time, but I hadn't done it in a long time. And I don't know, I cut it down, and all of a sudden it kind of naturally fit together. I suppose the way that I wrote Potemkin is a good example of how I write in general, only I did it over the course of like an hour as opposed to like 1 or 2 weeks. Because it was just loads of random phrases that I wrote down, and then a few chords that I thought up, and then the melody came based around a few of the phrases that I liked, and then that's how it came to be.
Now, the Union Choir are obviously one of the staple bands of the Northeast music scene at the moment. Very exciting. Well, I would say that because the first time I saw you were playing a gig for Tom Robinson.
Yeah,
with
a
handful of other bands, which is Brilliant Mind, of course. Mm. And Nadine Shah, who's, I think, London-based. So she's not too much part of that scene, but she's a recognisable figure. Well, definitely a recognisable voice because she's amazing. Who are your favourite bands on the Northeast music scene?
Funny you mentioned Brilliant Mind. Brilliant Mind, definitely. They're playing my single launch with another two of my favourite Northeast bands are Adjamal, which is Fran O'Hanlon's kind of project, which is just incredible. He's got a voice that can just stop you in your tracks. It is generally inspiring to watch him because he's kind of got the nerve to walk into a room and kind of play this really intimate, beautiful music and just silence an entire crowd. And he's often, because he's kind of like a solo acoustic artist, he'll often be asked to open gigs for other bands, and it's almost like he's got to win over an audience every time he plays, and he does every time because he's fantastic. I think he's the bravest artist on the Northeast band scene by far. I saw him, he played a gig with us when we supported David McCalmont. It was for an Ouseburn acoustic festival, and kind of all the audience, they weren't really the usual audience we would expect for the Northeast. And they weren't talking over him, but there was a lot of chatty people at the bar and stuff like that, and it was full. There was 250 people or something like that in, so you're always going to get that. And he had the balls to just, like, unplug his guitar and walk in the middle of the room and just play a song away from the mic, just entirely unaided. And I just thought, God, I play it so safe and easy. It's great to see someone like that with such conviction and such quality. So Brilliant Mind, Adjamal, Love Waiting for Winter, Holy Mammoth are obviously incredible. Oh Messy Life, incredible. They don't give a fuck, which I love. Young Liar. There's just some amazing bands in the Northeast at the minute. But I think they're the pick of the bunch.
Obviously, being a music podcast, it's nice for me to sometimes shut up and play some music. So I think that it's time for me to shut up and say goodbye to you and then play one of your songs. But if I could play any song of yours on this podcast right now, and I will be playing a song of yours on this podcast in a few moments, which song would it be?
I would have said Eleanor, but we've got to keep that under wraps until late July, so I'd probably say Lifeboat.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much, John. And if you'd like to check out the Union Choir, they've got a shiny website, haven't you?
Yes, we have. Either go, it's facebook.com/theunionchoir, soundcloud.com/theunionchoir, myspace.com/theunionchoir. We're very formulaic.
Fabulous. Well, thank you very much for joining me. And this is Lifeboat by the Union Choir.
He changed his name in winter. Talked to ghosts in picture shows. And Lauren said, you talk like a victor. Come here. She was whispering all night, change me, I repent. I'm doing off with the ships now. I'm doing
That was the wonderful Lifeboat by the Union Choir, and a huge thanks to John Melvin for coming to chat to me at his gig at the Dublin Castle with Doyle and the Forefathers, Daryl Kelly, and the wonderful Young Runaways, who I knew back from the days when I used to live in Birmingham. So top trivia for you there. I will bring you Young Runaways in a future podcast. I don't want to give you everything all at once, you see, but they are a wonderful band. I've used the word wonderful quite a good many times in this episode, so maybe I'll call it episode number 3. So wonderful. I'm going to wrap up the podcast now, and I did mention that I'm going to be bringing you Young Runaways in a future podcast, but I'm going to play you another artist from the Union Choir's Dublin Castle gig right now to wrap things up. This young man is called Daryl Kelly. He's very charming. He bought me a cider at the gig, so I said I'd put him on the podcast. And he's a really, really talented guitarist as well as singer and songwriter. And if any of you are familiar with Rodrigo Gabriella, then you'll know what I'm talking about when I say that Daryl is a connoisseur of the rhythmic guitar, percussion, tapping thing, technique, whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure if it's actually got a name or not, so I should probably research that one. In fact, I probably should have researched that before starting the podcast, but hey, I thought I'd get a glass of wine and sit in my tiny flat and, yeah, bring you some of my favourite artists from the underground. If you'd like to be on a future episode of the Get Frank podcast, then really all you need to do is ask. Just email frankiepromotes@gmail.com or check out the details on my website, which is simply getfrank.co.uk. I've been Frankie Ward, and this is Daryl Kelly and his great track, Those Shoes.
I love those shoes, I love that dress. I love the way you wear your hair, I must confess. It's a lady, down to your toes. I'm crazy about you, that's the way the evening goes. I love your lips, your fingertips. I love the way you dance and how you sway your hips. I said maybe, perhaps, you already know. I'm crazy about you, let's see where the evening goes. She turns and looks at me, mademoiselle. Vous êtes très jolie, il y a un problème. Je suis très désolé, mon chéri. C'est vrai, je suis nul en français. That smile on the wild. I love the way your legs seem to go on for miles. I said, lady, let's dispense with the lows. I'm crazy about you, let's see where the evening goes. That dress, I love the way you wear your hair, I must confess. I said, lady, down to your toes. I'm crazy about you, let's see where the evening goes. I love your lips. I love the way you dance and how you sway your hips. I said, maybe, perhaps, you already know. I'm crazy about you, let's see where the evening goes. She turns and looks at me, mademoiselle. Vous êtes très jolie, il y a un problème. Je suis très désolé, mon chéri. C'est vrai, je suis nul en français. That smile, au revoir. I love the way your legs seem to go on for miles. I said, lady, let's dispense with those. I'm crazy about you, let's see where the evening goes. I'm crazy about you, let's see where the evening. Crazy about you, let's see where the evening goes.